You're listening to the Restoration City Church podcast. We are a non-denominational Christian church located in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We thank you for taking time out to listen to this message. It is our prayer that something said ministers to you. For more information about this ministry, please visit www.myrestorationcity.org. Now the message from our lead pastor, Brian D.J. Robinson, already in progress. Our word tonight, and we are starting a new five-week series. It's going to be a Tuesday night series, so we'll have this for Tuesday nights. We'll have something else every Saturday. But what we're going to be is talking about starting tonight, the title of, I was going to say the sermon, but the lesson, because I'm going to try to teach and not preach, is Sticks and Stones, Five Secret Weapons to Make Your Words Reality. Sticks and Stones, Five Secret Weapons to Make Your Words Reality. I know when I just speak about myself, I don't like to assume that everybody else is in the same boat, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has given me some visions and God has given me some dreams. And because he's given me visions and he's given me dreams, I also believe that he's given you all watching on Facebook, watching on live stream, even here in this house tonight, he has also given you all visions and dreams, right? But out of those visions and dreams, we are to create goals. How many of you know that even if you have a vision or you have a dream, if you don't sit down to begin to make tangible goals or checkpoints, I could say, you'll never really accomplish what God showed you, okay? Checkpoints help us get to where we know that God wants us to go. Oftentimes, God shows us things, and we begin to discuss those things. I know I do it all the time. I have a dream. I have an open vision. I read the word. God gives me a revelation. I'm so excited. It's so fresh. It's so amazing that I want to tell everybody and their mama, right? And so we get these great things, and we begin to discuss them. We share them with family. We share them with friends, and we get excited, and we are to get excited because guess what? When God gives you a gift, you should be happy, okay? But a lot of us, even though we get excited and we share those things with other people, our words give us so much satisfaction that we don't go back and put our goals on paper, and we sometimes don't execute upon what we said we were going to do. Now, some people, that might not be their issue. Other people, it says, I set these goals, I've done these things, I've spoken these things, right? But life circumstances keep me from achieving what I set out to achieve. How many of you know in here that the only constant in life really is change? Every single day, something is going to happen in your life that can shake you a little bit, that can throw you off course. It can be something as simple as getting a phone call from somebody and you get some news behind that phone call that you didn't want to get. It can be you go out to your car, you start the car, and guess what? It might not start. You get to work, your boss is tripping on you. There's always something in our everyday life that can derail us from what we plan on doing, okay? Our words sometimes don't line up with our reality. We can say things, especially in church. How you doing? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You know, we say all these cliches, but reality is for some of us, even though you say you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord, you're making a profession, you're making a confession, but everything in your life might not be lining up with that you're blessed and highly favored. You might tell people, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm excited, but you might be fighting back tears because life circumstances just come about. It can weigh you down. Our desires as well sometimes don't line up with our current ability or our drive. We can have all these ambitions, all these great visions from God. He said this, he showed me this, he did all these great things, right? But sometimes our drive and our ability does not line up with what we're trying to do. And there's nothing wrong with that because in every area we got to do what? We got to grow. We got to get better. But the first thing that we have to understand is if we're going to get better, we got to first be honest about what our issues are. There's too many of us, not only do we lie to other people, But we lie to ourselves and say, I can do this, I can do this. And guess what? If you get some stuff situated, if you build your endurance, if you build your accountability, if you build your level of discipline and your level of excellence, then guess what? You might be able to do it. But who you are right now, no, it's not going to happen. So you can have as much faith as you want, okay? You can profess, you can confess, but until you start working on those attributes inside of yourself and disciplining yourself, you're never going to get to where God wants you to go, okay? So the message tonight is sticks and stones. We, for the next 5 weeks, are going to discuss five different weapons to make your words reality. Because when we say something, we want it to come to pass. We don't want to be a liar. We don't want to be somebody who always says something and then it doesn't happen. Okay? But the first weapon that we're going to talk about tonight for the first week is called anointing. Somebody say anointing.
Anointing
is a imperative weapon that oftentimes is overlooked by many of us in the Christian church. It's a word that we throw out all the time. Oh, he's so anointed. She's so anointed. The anointing. But how many of us truly understand what the anointing is and what the anointing can and will do in your life if you learn how to flow with it, okay? We're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And the word of God reads as follows. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said. Let me pause there, because this is a side note here. I love the word when it says, and Samuel did what the Lord said. Samuel had his doubts. Samuel was like, well, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I don't really agree with what you're saying, but at your will, I'm going to do what you do, okay? And we got to make sure that we get to a point when we're going to flow with God and get to do the will of God, that we must be in a position to do what the Lord says do, whether we understand it or not, okay? And came to Bethlehem. And the leaders of the city came trembling to me to meet him and said, do you come in peace? He said, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Somebody say, God looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Verse number 19. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. We're going to get back to that one later on. What we see here in this text, guys, is a very familiar story about the anointing of David. We hear so many different sermons about how David was anointed and how Samuel anointed David and he was chosen from God. And the one thing that I want us to gain from this entire text is our point number one is this. You are anointed to accomplish your assignment. You are anointed to accomplish your assignment. Notice that everything in this first point is personal. It's you are anointed to accomplish your assignment, okay? The prophet Samuel is sent to Jesse of Bethlehem to anoint the next king. Though you and I are not anointed to be kings in the sense that we rule over an entire nation, we are anointed to, by God, to achieve something special for God. Each of us has been gifted and we have been birthed with an assignment that is particular and is significant to only us. And we have a special anointing with that special assignment that is good, that we're going to accomplish, okay? And when you understand that you were anointed to accomplish that particular assignment, it begins to move you and put you in a different level with God. Because when you know that you have something to do and that God has instructed you to do it, there's a little more fire in your belly. There's a little more hunger inside of you to fulfill what God has called you to fulfill. To be anointed means to be singled out by God for a special favor and responsibility. We must, as children of God, based upon the word of God, understand that, yes, we have been singled out by God for a special, with special favor and with special responsibility. Many times people talk about the anointing as though you're anointed and that people are to serve you because you're anointed. Now, yes, God will honor a man or woman of God. Yes, he will bless a man or woman of God. But one thing you must understand about the anointing is that you are singled out by God with special favor. But with that favor comes a level of responsibility. When you are favored by God, you're not just favored to be favored. You're not just favored to have nice things. You are favored so that you are put in a place of responsibility to accomplish only what you can accomplish. Okay? The Lord anoints David through the prophet Samuel. But in John chapter 14, one of the greatest books in the Bible, y'all, if you haven't read John chapter 14, I would beg you almost to read John chapter 14, okay? In John chapter 14, Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will anoint each and every one of us just like Samuel anointed David. So there is no question as a child of God, if I'm anointed. Because the word of God shows us that when you become a child of God and you put yourself under subjection to the Most High God, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and he's going to anoint you. But the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is not only does he anoint you, but he then teaches you all things so that you can walk out what you were predestined to do before the foundation of the earth. How amazing is that? That not only did God choose me, then he anointed me, but then he left me the Holy Spirit who's going to teach me all things. So I don't got to worry about whether or not I'm going to accomplish what God called me to accomplish. All I have to do is make sure I submit myself to the Holy Spirit. And when I get in line and get behind the Holy Spirit, guess what? I'm going to accomplish everything God wants me to accomplish, okay? If you are going to function correctly, you must be filled. F-I-L-L-E-D. If you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, you must be filled up. You must be filled to the brim. Because let me tell you, you cannot drive a long distance on a quarter tank of gas. If you set off to go from Columbus, Ohio to Fort Worth, Texas, right? And all you got is a quarter tank of gas, you ain't going to make it, baby. You're not going to make it. You're going to get on the road, you're going to be coasting, and next thing you know, you're going to look up and you're going to be broke down on the side of the world. And there are too many Christians who we get an assignment from God, but we don't put ourselves in a position to sit with God, to sit with his word, to sit with his Holy Spirit, and get filled up to the point till God says, okay, now it's time for you to go on your journey because you're filled up enough not to get weary or not to get frustrated, upset, and give up on the journey. If you are filled with Christ,
Christ means the anointed one. If you are filled with Christ, the anointing is not just on you, but the anointing is alive in you. That's something that we really got to understand, y'all. The anointing is not something that just rests upon you and lifts up on you. No, it literally is alive in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, okay? But we got to understand that the anointing does three things. The anointing enables. The second thing the anointing does is the anointing equips. And then the third thing, y'all know I love this word, the anointing empowers. So we understand the anointing enables, the anointing equips, and the anointing empowers. Samuel could have chosen any of the other brothers because they look good. He could have done that. But God looks at your heart. And that is why a lot of people within the body of Christ, and even those outside of the body of Christ, always wonder, how is it that this person can be blessed? They messed up and made this mistake, they made that mistake, but God, you're still blessing them. The reason it is because a lot of times, people who mess up, their heart is pure. But you got some folk in the body of Christ, and those in the world too, who got some nasty hearts, who got some ill motives, but they do everything right. It's part of their plot and part of their plan. God doesn't honor that. But he respects the one who says, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I made some mistakes, but my heart is pure towards you. All I want to do is what you've called me to do, God. And if you mess up on the way, God says, I got you. That's grace. What does your heart look like? That is the question that I want to pose to you tonight. What does your heart look like? You are anointed to accomplish your assignment, but you got to make sure you check your heart before you start flowing in your assignment, okay? Because if your heart is not pure, if your heart is not in the place that it should be, then you're going to run into some trouble as you begin to maneuver and you begin to move in what God has called you to move into. But the second thing that we have to understand, we're still talking about the anointing, is that just because you're not visible does not mean that you are not valuable. In this era of self-glorification, where you got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got Snapchat, you got Kick, you got Twitter, you got WhatsApp, you got all these different things that at the end of the day are put on this earth, yes, for you to connect with other people, but it allows for you to get your own shine on, okay? It allows for you, no matter where you're at, the beauty of Instagram is I can be on a desert island, but I can find a picture, boom, sitting on the dock of the bay. No, you're not. But what happens with that is we begin to look at people who have these facades and we begin to judge our life by what they're doing. And when you begin to research, and I thank the Holy Spirit that he showed me this a while ago, when you begin to research their lives and you get up close and personal to them, a lot of the pictures that they posted, it ain't real. A lot of the things that they saying, it ain't real. They might smile in that picture, but guess what? They had to take 200 pictures before they could get a good smile. But you worried about how you look and you comparing yourself to somebody who got all day to sit around and be on Instagram and Facebook. They ain't got no job. They're not advancing. They're not doing nothing. So they got time to be looking good. One of the best things I saw on was Instagram. It had this picture of a beautiful woman. Beautiful woman, beautiful face, beautiful body, and she had this nice dress on, and it said, this is what she looked like on the outside. Then it showed her house, and the house was dirty, nasty, roaches running around. And so you comparing yourself to this woman who you say, oh wait, I want to be just like her. Or this man, I want to be just like him. But when you do your research, they living in Section 8 housing, can't pay their bills, roaches running around, clothes nasty, not take care of their kids. You can't compare yourself to nobody else. That's a sidebar. I'm sorry. Just because you're not visible does not mean you are not valuable. David was left out by everybody else because he was set apart by God. Some of you are upset that you are left out. Some of you are upset that you're not getting invited to the party. You're not getting invited to the meeting. You're not at every single kickback. Don't be discouraged because you are being left out because you are being set apart by God. If you feel left out, you might just be the one that God will use to do the next great something in this world. Invisibility is not a sign of insignificance, but it's a sign of protection. When you are invisible to the world, it's not saying that you are invisible to God. When you are invisible to the world, it is not saying that you are insignificant and that you're not worth anything. What it is saying is that you are valuable in the eyes of God. You're so valuable that He is protecting you from the very people that would try to suck your anointing, the very people that would try to end your ministry, the very people that would try to put your name in the street when you ain't even done nothing. Those very people, God will allow for you to be invisible to them. A man of God, Evangelist Samuel Puku, tell me a story about over in Ghana. He said there was a prophet of God, anointed man of God. The government had come to kill him. And they kicked in his door, and his family was there, and their guards, guns blazing, they're trying to kill this prophet, and they can't find him. They're looking all around the house. They don't see him. But he's staring at his wife and his children. And he's sitting in the corner in a chair. But the men who came to kill him did not see him. The Lord literally made him invisible in that moment so that he would not be taken out by the enemy. And if that is true, which I believe it is, do you realize that God was protecting him? God was setting him aside because he had great things to do. In the same way that the God allowed for him to be invisible in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of chaos, is the same way that God will allow for you to be invisible. When your boss comes on the job and they're trying to lay folk off, and you say, I can't lose this job, he'll make you invisible. They'll have, oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, there might be some folk in here, guess what? They got some sicknesses that's going through some things, and guess what? You are invisible to the enemy. He can't put sickness on you. He can't put disease on you. He can't put lack on you, because you are being set apart for something great. When God knows who you are, no one else has to know who you are. When God knows what you're called to do, nobody else has to know what you're called to do. When you aren't visible, God is saving you and protecting you for something special. It is the things that no one sees that produce the results that everybody wants. I'm going to say that again because that blessed my soul. It is the things that no one sees that produce the results that everybody wants. Everybody wants, as every football player, right, wants to be in the NFL. Every basketball player wants to be in the NBA. But the best, oftentimes when they tell their story that they didn't have friends, that they weren't able to go out clubbing, they weren't able to go spend time with their friends because they were on the football field, at the gym, on the basketball court, putting in work when nobody else was putting in work. It was the very practice, in the very discipline, in the very building that they were doing behind the scenes that nobody else saw that produced the results that everybody wants. Let me tell you, just because you're not visible does not mean you're not valuable. Because as you're building yourself behind the scenes, as you're strengthening your mind, as you're strengthening your spirit, as you're strengthening your body, once God gives you the okay to walk out into what He's called you to walk out into, you're never going to go back. Too many of us go forward and jump back. Go forward and jump back. But how many of you know that's not the process of God? You don't jump forward and go back. If you've been properly incubated, if you've been properly born and grown, and you got all the nutrition that you need, you don't got to go back in the womb. Let me tell you something. When a baby come out of mama's womb, what? It ain't going back up in there. It has what it needs to come into this earth. It has what it needs to survive and to stand in this world. It's the same way. Some of us are in the womb of the Spirit, and we just got to be patient. We just got to let God pour into us everything that He wants inside of us, because when He gives the go-ahead for us to be birthed out and for us to begin to move like we're supposed to move, ain't no stopping us now. Just because your assignment is not visible does not mean your anointing is not valuable. A lot of us want to be seen. And there are some of us that are anointed to be seen. That's just life. But there are those who will do more behind the scenes for the kingdom of God. And those who do it behind the scenes, how much more reward will God give them? Because they weren't trying to be seen. They weren't trying to get a name for themselves. All they were trying to do was advance the kingdom of God. But then, as we're still talking about anointing, you must understand that you don't need a greater assignment to experience a greater anointing. After Samuel anoints David in verse 13, the next time we see David, is not on a grand scale. You would think that a unique anointing should immediately warrant a greater assignment. You would think that, wait a minute, hold up, I got anointed as king, take me to the palace tomorrow. That's what you think. However, that was not the plan of God. And oftentimes, that is not the plan of God. You get anointed, but in between your anointing and your assignment is some preparation, is some planning. Verse 19 shows David tending to the sheep. And this is a key. God does not promise a new activity with every fresh anointing. God does not promise a new activity with every fresh anointing. Sometimes God simply wants you to grow up. You might now, hallelujah. Jesus. A lot of times, we go to different levels in our relationship with God. And he pours out fresh anointings. And more often than not, when he pours out a fresh anointing, we're looking for a new assignment. We're looking, so God, okay, you gave me a new anointing. You must have something else for me to do. But what I want to speak to you all tonight is that sometimes the fresh anointing isn't for another assignment. Do exactly what you've been doing, but do it with a greater level of anointing and awareness of God's Spirit working in you. Imagine if I'm a Sunday school teacher. And I get to a deeper place in my relationship with God, I don't necessarily need to go jump from being a Sunday school teacher to trying to preach in a pulpit every week. Now, yes, that might be my ultimate goal. That might be where God's leading me, right? But how about for a minute, I let my new anointing flow in my Sunday school room? How about I flow with a greater anointing and awareness of God's Spirit in me? So I go from teaching basic Sunday school lessons to teaching life-transforming Sunday school lessons. I go from having just a good little talk to having a Holy Spirit-empowered Sunday school. Is that not glorious? Is that not perfect? Because imagine if every person in the body of Christ got a fresh anointing but didn't try to jump out of their position, but they stayed in the position that they were in, if they perfected that anointing, if they moved with an awareness of God's Spirit in them, then guess what? We'd be slaying the Spirit in every Sunday school class, every prayer service, we'd be in Walmart shouting, crying, rolling around on the floor, saving folk. Because wherever we are positioned, if we let our anointing flow, the presence of God will do great things. But this is the last point. We're still talking about anointing. You have nothing to prove and only one to please. Amen. Even if you do not have a clear purpose right now, God's anointing frees us up to see that we have nothing to prove to anybody else. There are too many of us, and I was guilty of this. There are too many of us that are trying to prove ourselves to other people when we haven't proved ourselves to ourselves. And when you try to prove yourself to other people and you haven't proved yourself to yourself, eventually you are going to fall. Eventually you are going to fail, and you are going to be in such a chaotic place because you were trying to please somebody else without knowing who you were. We only have to please one, and that is God Himself. Life gets hard when we start trying to please everybody else but God. Life gets hard because God is a God of principle, but humans are of emotion. God is a God of principle, which means if He said do it on Monday, He still means it on Friday. Whereas we in the body of Christ, because we're human, we're flesh, we could be saved, sanctified, redeemed of the Lord, but some days this flesh right here is still going to rise up, okay? Now we crucify it, but guess what? In between it rising up and crucifying might be a few hours, okay? But what we understand and we realize is that when you try to please other people, you will ultimately displease God. I just want to say this as I close. It's a new beginning for a lot of us. And I don't mean a new beginning as old things pass away, behold, all things become new. You know, we know that. But what I'm saying to you is you have a choice today. You have a choice every day that you wake up for a new beginning. No matter how bad yesterday was, no matter how bad your day at work was, you have a choice to wake up the next morning and say, I have a new beginning. What I dealt with yesterday is not going to negatively affect me today. And when you accept that new beginning, you then get into a place to where the Holy Spirit can work and flow through you in every area of your life. There is a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. There's a fresh anointing from our God. There's a fresh anointing provided by Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again. But it is up to each and every one of us to decide whether or not we are going to receive it. Sticks and stones. Five secret weapons to make your words reality. And the first weapon that we talked about this week is the anointing. The anointing literally has the ability to transform and to change your life. The anointing has the ability to take you from the sheep, from the pasture, to the palace. But understand, even though you know the palace is your end result, there's some work that you have to do between the pasture and the palace. Yet the same anointing you received in the pasture is the same anointing that will allow you to flow with power and authority in the palace. So don't despise your anointing. Don't despise where you start. Don't despise where you're being sharpened and where you're being conditioned and where you're being disciplined, because it is the lessons that you are learning right now that are going to allow for you to flow with power and authority when you get to where God is ultimately taking you.